Welcome to Keeping Up with Trends. This is Fed Razak, Senior Trading Strategist here at CM Trading. We're joined with Sergio Davids, our host. And so we've got a very exciting episode for you today. Sergio, what's on the plate?
Hey, Fred. Pleasure to be here, man. Well, it's been quite an interesting week, especially in the tech world. You know, Apple stunned everyone with quite an interesting bit of gear, an entirely new way to engage in VR and I guess AR as well. Also, the SEC has been cracking down on crypto this week with the now, you know, sort of disgraced Binance being the target of its fury. But I think there's about 14 cases leveled against its platform and its CEO. And I guess, yeah, it's been quite tumultuous this week.
Yeah. So what about Apple's VR debut?
Well, you know, whenever a huge product comes out from Apple, you know, it's got all eyes on, and even their share price reflected that, you know, saw an increase. Look, it's an interesting bit of gear. I'll admit I don't really like the design being like old school goggles, but the sheer tech, the sheer, you know, capabilities of it is amazing. You know, some of the scale of what you can do is incredible. You know, apart from just basic information that it can throw your way, it can, you know, do things like you'll be looking at, you know, a plant that can identify it for you, be looking at someone who could tell you some information about it. It's, you know, it's the future, I guess, Google Glass, you know, always wanted back, geez, 10 years ago. The biggest issue I have with Apple is that price tag at $3,500 is
so
crazy.
This is the thing. This is my take on it. You know, I remember my father buying my brother the first Apple IIe. This is 1982, I believe it was.
Wow.
And I believe the cost of it was $4,000.
Jeez, back then. Wow.
It translates like to $10,000, $15,000 today. Now, with that said, okay, anytime you have these new products that hit the market initially, they're way overinflated. I suspect that they'll retrace the price, and they already mentioned it, that it's going to go into a sale price next year. It's going to be somewhere in the mid-$2,000 range. Now, these are not just some VR goggles. These are just, I mean, there's a full chip in there to do computing.
Yeah.
You can put your apps in there. This is like, you could connect it to your laptop and work off of it as opposed to the laptop. You have a virtual keyboard. It has so many sensors and cameras that you're able to actually interact with it by moving your hands, and it reads your eye movement just so precisely. And on the outside, instead of this black thing that, you know, that just reflects on whatever you're looking at in the room, it actually is transparent, quote unquote, because there's like a screen there that takes a shot of your eyes and like kind of makes it look like as if it's transparent.
Yeah, so it's actually quite slick.
Yeah, I'm saying this is not like a, you know, nice pair of goggles, you know, this is top tech. And I suspect, just like everything else, when it goes to top tech, you have those outliers that just need to get the fastest, best, newest technology in the market, right?
Yeah.
Those guys are jumping in right now. The rest of the market will then have to.
Well, you know, as always the case, all those tertiary, you know, sectors are also going to have to supply this new, well, not really new. I mean, VR has been around for the last, you know, 15 years, and, well, AR as well. But I remember reading about Unity Software, you know, is partnering with Apple to try and bring all its apps to the Vision. So obviously they're going to see a bit of a bump when it comes to that. And Disney is in talks with Apple because it wants to bring, you know, all its, you know, shows and all sort of future, how can I say, activities. Let's say, for example, you go to Disney World, you can now walk around with, you know, Apple Vision goggles and get an entirely new, you know, sort of experience. So
I'm saying, like, this
I,
is just,
I, Yeah.
You know, it's not just the daily application of it. It's like the entertainment, the working space, the FaceTime is real. You know, and I'll also argue that if, you know, Apple, like historically speaking, there was the MP3 players before Apple came out with its first MP3 player.
Sure.
Now, I remember this. I remember it like yesterday. And like, there were a bunch of Korean companies, Japanese companies that came out with all kinds of really cool MP3 players. Some of them had screens and they could show short videos. I had one called an iRiver, like, and it was cool, right? It was small and, you know, and I would say it was like about 4 years, 3 years before Apple entered that market. And when they did, what did they do to the market?
Yeah, totally crushed it. It's funny you should talk about MP3s because, you know, the Apple's, you know, iPlay and Watch have come full 360 and it's back on the market. You know, you're talking about, what, 15 years ago technology. It's come full circle and it's back again on stores.
Oh, wow. I don't want to just be hooked up to their phones, you know.
How bizarre. We've come full circle with that tech. Look, just getting back to the vision, you know, I think I like VR mainly because, you know, I play a lot of, you know, computer games. And I always envisioned myself as a kid, you know, I could be in the game, you know, never mind just sitting behind a PC or a console playing it, but, you know, inside the game, as it were. And, you know, I was hoping what with, I don't know if you remember that, but a tech called the Oculus rig, you could put it on, it's a VR headset, you know, would take off, but it hasn't really become mainstream. So here's hoping Apple will now be the springboard for all future VR and AR technology,
but
you know, because it's
this.
An industry
not...
that hasn't really, you know, taken off.
Yeah, because it's been all dependent on some sort of hardware. VR until now was always dependent on some sort of hardware. This is independent of hardware. This is the hardware.
Yeah, they've managed to bridge that gap quite nicely.
It's never been this interactive.
Look, I don't, you know, I don't know if you watched the unveiling, but there was an audible gasp in the air when the price was unveiled. But I guess Apple's also one of those brands that, you know, it's an aspirational brand. So it can afford to have, you know, high prices because it knows its products are in demand. I mean, just look at, you know, its other products. You know, they're always a little bit more expensive than everything else on the market, but they can afford to do it.
When the phone came out, right? What are we talking about? 13 years ago when the phone came out?
Yeah, 2001, I think.
And
no, 2008, 2009.
Right. And how much was it? Was it it was like $800?
Yeah. Back then it was the most expensive phone.
So I'm saying, and that was like 2-3 times more expensive than most phones in the market of the time.
Yeah.
So,
but it took off. You know,
I think this is just the beginning of something that's going to take off. I think Apple has a much larger vision.
Yeah.
Much longer time vision than, it's $3,500. Let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
I think they kind of know that the market is heading towards this way. And it's just a matter of time until we get these clunky, even laptops away from us.
Well, let me ask you something. If you could, would you buy one?
I'm not a techie.
You don't see an application for sitting around?
I don't like, you know, I had a mentor one time who would decide which kind of gadgets he would get involved with or not. And his threshold was to read the instruction manual before he got it. So that he would say to himself, will this device control me or will I control it?
Okay.
Now, that's obviously up until the point that the iPhone or the smartphone came into the forum because it controls all of us, right? But the point of this is...
it's too true.
The point of it is at the end of the day, I'm not a techie that needs to be controlled by stuff. I mean, I will probably revert to it once, you know, the company, you know, like the company happened to doing away with desktops. So everybody in the company has to have a laptop.
Look, so, I think any kind of technology, you know, if it solves a problem in your life, can lend itself to addiction. I mean, we're talking about smartphones today, but I remember back in the 90s, my cousin couldn't go anywhere without his Walkman. Like, he physically needed it on his person to be somewhere.
You know, taking the blanket with him, right?
Exactly. It's a weird, no matter where we were, you know, he'd have his Walkman, spare set of batteries, and I only ever saw him with one cassette tape.
I'm just more concerned about the fact that the real world and the virtual world is
steadily merging.
It's steadily meshing into something that, you know, we can't decipher what's real, what's not.
Well, are you familiar with term end time technologies?
Nope.
So is a theory in science, and they've listed about 9 different kinds of end time technologies, basically a technology that would be the end of our civilization. And one of them is the Star Trek holodeck, you know, which we're seeing now in its infancy with regards to Apple's vision, you know. And the thought behind it is, if you could manifest anything you wanted virtually, right? Why would you then want to live in reality? You know, it
that reminds me of an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. What was that?
Well, if you think about in the Matrix, you know, one of the scenes that should have hit a lot harder for people was when one of the traitors in the first movie is having dinner with, you know, well, I guess then the antivirus Agent Smith. And he says to himself that, you know, the steak, he knows it isn't real. He knows it's the brain, you know, is telling him it's delicious, etc. But he just doesn't care. And that's scary, because imagine you could manifest that for you virtually. Right?
I could live
the life I want and never leave my apartment.
Yeah, that's very scary. I mean, we're doing that already in a certain way, right?
Yeah.
The movie was Total Recall. That's
yes, Total Recall. Excellent movie.
So,
ironically, he was a very good actor in that. Well, mainly because he had to play two roles, but yeah, that was a great movie.
Yeah, that was funny. Anyway, so I believe that this is a bridge to the next level of virtual reality.
And yeah, no, I don't for sure.
This is just the beginning of a lot of products that are going to come out. I mean, there's speakers right next. This thing is full tech, and this thing is specced up. I mean,
it's good. It's just what's going to excite me is, you know, whenever a major player like this comes in, you're going to get in the next 6 months, you know, all the knockoffs, all the cheaper versions, you know,
and
different
about
kinds
five
of
years
platforms.
From now, the cheap $700 version will be as good as this one. Right.
Too true. Right, I guess next topic we've got, you know, on our agenda is the SEC clamping down on crypto, and specifically Binance.
I wouldn't say clamping down, I would say catching up.
Well, I think they've leveled about 13 or so charges against the company, you know, for fraud, etc. The founder, Changpeng Zhao, I mean, I remember reading about him about a year ago, you know, in some dubious activities. And now it seems like you said it's catched up. Well, they've caught up. And yeah, it's a huge problem, I guess, in cryptocurrency environment in general. You know, it just lends itself to this kind of fraud. I guess what's making the headlines is that Binance, you know, in 2022 accounted for at least 70% of the market. I mean, that's huge.
Yes. However, I mean, you know, all these charges.
Yeah.
You know, at a certain point, the laws have not caught up to the actual market. So I don't, you know, it's like we're making up the laws as we're going along. Oh, by the way, that was illegal. So retroactively, I'm going to, you know,
yeah,
well, fine you on it.
It's funny because
I don't know if there are criminal charges here.
Well, against him specifically, there would be. I mean, he's even facing, you know, extradition. But my issue is Bitcoin isn't, you know, it's not new. And cryptocurrencies aren't new. I mean, Bitcoin's, what, celebrating its almost 11th year, you know, as an asset. Sure, it only took off in the last 5 years, but it's been around for a long time. And all of a sudden, you know, legislation has to catch up, like you said, for problems that we didn't foresee, you know, are now affecting us. Like the collapse of FTX. I mean, that was insane.
Very reminiscent of that, unless they're trying to just break them all up like they did in, like, the Red Barons, you know, of the 1920s.
Yeah. I suppose they would, because, I mean, I guess the next one after Binance is to take on Coinbase. And Coinbase is parent company to FTX. So, you know, we haven't seen the full fallout of that yet.
Right. And so, and these things do take time, and they allow new players to walk into the market.
Well, I was just about to say, what is your advice for traders in this kind of environment?
I mean
there's a lot of fear in the air.
Yeah, but the price of Bitcoin didn't really fall down. I mean, it's staying steady at 25, 26. You know, it didn't fall down. It's not like the Turkish lira right now. So,
oh, my word.
That, you know, Turkish lira is getting, like, clobbered. I mean, in the past 3 weeks, it's went from 18 to 23.
Yeah.
So that's pretty serious. I would just wait and see. I don't think I think there was much more hype on the cryptocurrencies than was validated. And I think we work with extremities in the market. We're overreact or underreact. And I think we're overreacting, you know, on the cautious side. But, you know, this is stuff that legislation needs to catch up on. And I'm not yet convinced that, you know, that this is a full application to cryptocurrencies. I think the next thing that will spin off cryptocurrencies, maybe, because it's always the first thing that's just like it's not a trendsetter until the next thing actually comes up.
Well, yeah, I mean, what would be, you know, the next thing?
I don't know.
I mean,
it could be a variation of cryptocurrencies and, like, you know, an index, like what Facebook wants to do with its Libra. It could be many things. It could be, you know, an uncentralized currency.
And of course, let's not forget that AI is going to play, you know, a big role in this next big thing.
For sure. This is very scary. We're heading into, like, really, like, Skynet kind of environment. You know, in every way.
I've heard that word from so many different sectors. It's crazy. Yeah, creation, there's finance, even in accounting, people are worried about it.
Even in finance, financial analyst is AI'd, so I will not have a job. You know,
and currently currently in America, you know, they've got that huge writer strike at the moment, and AI is affecting them. Because let's face it, why wouldn't a company like Disney turn to an AI algorithm and go, write me the best kids movie, you know, starring a dog. And the AI churns out the script, they take said script and they make the movie. Or they pump it into a different AI that makes the movie for them, cutting out an entire movie industry, you know, millions of jobs lost. Why wouldn't they do that?
This is becoming a really serious issue. I don't know. Yeah. It's like the application. I mean, this is like, you're talking about end of civilization.
Yeah, end time is the AI. But it's funny, though, because the end time technology isn't AI. The end time technology is what the AI makes. So if you ask ChatGPT to make a better version of itself, that would be the end time technology. You know, like asking Skynet to make a better Skynet. right? So, and the craziest part is it wouldn't be like the movie Terminator, you know, a weird all-out war. I think it would be smart enough to work us in such a way that we wouldn't know
the difference.
Yeah.
So I would take it, you know, a step further. I would take a famous director who was around in the 1960s, let's say, who's then since passed on. You put all of his movies into AI, and you request AI to develop a
sequel. Okay, so sequel. Sort of like an AI Spielberg, you know, or an AI Martin Scorsese. Sorry,
they did that recently with the Beatles.
Yeah,
they gave a Beatles song into AI. Yeah. Do a search, Beatles AI, and it's fascinating. It really is fascinating.
There's a this YouTube series I watch where guy uses an AI to impersonate David Attenborough's voice, you know, to talk about, you know, really obscure topics that he'd never like discuss. You know, using jargon and slang, but it's the voice is uncanny, you know. So yeah, it's a very scary world we live in, and I think all sectors should be worried. You know,
for sure.
Like I can't think of an industry that wouldn't be affected by AI.
So what are you gonna do? Just have these big companies, and people are gonna do what to make money?
I mean, I have a friend of mine is in the Well, yeah, it's actually co-owner of a restaurant, right? He recently used AI to sort of come up with a menu for him based on, like, you know, what it thought was the most popular dishes in his area based on, you know, what people could afford. And he was shocked when it came out with his menu, and he trialed it last week Friday, and it worked.
Wow.
You know, it even came up with, like, what the ingredients were for it. Yeah, so, you know, all his skill as a chef, well, sous chef, I guess, you know, counted for nothing against this AI who can pull out data that he wouldn't have even thought about.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy. So that's the chef. Well, you know, it's the restaurant industry. But take it a bit further and replace the chef with, you know, a robot who can cook.
Wow.
You know?
That is amazing.
I think on that scary note, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much, Fred, for all your insights.
Thank you, Sergio.
Awesome, and I'll see you on the next one.
You got it.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.